God, we thank you for the fact that you are alive, which means you're here. You're right here with us, inviting us in to the fact that you are alive, giving us life right now, where we are in this moment. You are inviting us in to encounter your life that is filled with love and forgiveness and grace and joy and peace. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would release the burden off of us this morning, and we can encounter your freedom, your life. Hallelujah. You are alive. So good. We give this time to be with you, to fall more in love with you, to learn more about you and ourselves and who you have created us to be. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you. In your name, we all said, amen. Amen. Before you take a seat, give someone a high five, say what's up, say good morning. That's how we roll here. Handshakes are cool. Awkward side hugs are appropriate. All of it. Yesterday I celebrated 6 years of being married. Yeah. That is a good thing. It is an awesome thing. I'm so in love with my wife. I looked back at our photos when we were getting married 6 years ago, and I'm like, wow, I look like a kid. And I had no idea what I was getting into. None. And I didn't realize the pain. I didn't realize the beauty all wrapped up into one. I say painful because it's the end of my selfishness. I say beautiful because it's the beginning of what selfless love looks like. Fantastic. Unbelievable. It is the coolest experience that I have encountered. And it's only been 6 years. I know some of you are like, shh, just wait, buddy. I get it. Not really. But I'm excited for the next 6 years as we continue to love each other more. It's so cool how I thought I knew her then, and now I know her now, and who she is now, and how she's going to be changing and becoming more of who she's supposed to be in the future. And I look forward to it, and I love it, and I love her, and I know she loves me. And it's just like, I'm just really, really stoked on life. It is not easy. We are not perfect at all. If anything, it has been a rough road because me shows up a lot. And we're working on that as we continue to communicate and love each other in that way. But what I want to talk about today has to do a little bit about that dynamic. But it has to do more about this level of intimacy, this depth of love and relationship as it pertains to us relating to the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit desires to have relationship with you and me. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians at the end of his letter, chapter 13, verse 14. He says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Notice the Trinity, the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And it is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that I want to look at. That word fellowship is a Greek word. The Greek word is koinonia. And when you have translation, when you go from one language to another, you lose things. As best as you can translate, you're going to lose things because some words in the English just can't capture the depth and the beauty behind certain words. That's why you're going to have different translations with different Bibles. They're all saying the same message, but it says it just a little bit differently so it gets the beauty behind it or the actual translation behind it or whatever it may be. There's different translations for different purposes because you can't actually fully grasp all that's actually happening. And that word koinonia is beautiful. Because what that word evokes is this mutual relationship that's on this trajectory of growing deeper through fellowship, through intimacy, through partnership, and community. essentially what Paul is saying is he's saying that the Holy Spirit longs to be in a mutual, growing relationship with you and me. And so what I want to do for the remainder of our time here is I want to go into that word and begin to discover what those words mean so that we can better grasp what he's talking about when he says that the Spirit of God desires to have fellowship, the Spirit of God desires to have koinonia, that the Spirit of God desires to be in relationship with you and me. Fellowship. Fellowship is a word, it's a Christianese word in my life, where I, just personal, when someone says to me, Sean, let's have some fellowship together, I go, no, that's weird. Why are you saying it like that? What do you mean you want to hang out with me? Yeah, let's have some fellowship. I always get kind of weirded by it. And that's just my own MO. It's just like my personal thing. I don't actually say it out loud. It's just kind of how it happens in my head. I'm like, that's weird. I don't want to do that with you. But to be honest with you, at the end of the day, fellowship, honestly, fellowship just simply means I want to share with you. I'm going to share my life with you. I want to talk with you. I want to communicate. I want connection. I want relationship. I want to share. That's why people like golfing. I don't know why people like golfing. But now I realize fellowship exists, and that's why people like golfing. Because let's be honest, really, you like hitting a little ball into a hole and spending a lot of money doing it 18 times? What? That sounds crazy and just not fun at all. And I don't even see the people playing in the Masters having fun. Only one guy who wins, and then he's just like, he's just exhausted. It looks horrible. But at the end of the day, we love it. Why? Why do we love it? Because when we're golfing, we're sharing about life. We're talking about our successes and our failures at work. We're sharing about the relational dynamics at home. We're sharing about all kinds of things that are going on in our life. We're sharing about, hey, here are the 3,000 things that you need to do in order to hit that stupid white ball into that little hole. Put your head down, Sean. Swing for it. It's like, oh, what? We love it. At the end of the day, we're like, man, that was a great time because I had fellowship. Because I had relationship, because I had a connection. The Spirit of God longs to be in relationship with you and me. He has since the beginning. And we see it. If you look at the overall narrative of Scripture, what is happening is that it is God is on mission to be in relationship with you and me. In the beginning, in creation. What's happening there? Perfect fellowship, right? There's no sin. Man, woman, God, unity, complete, wholeness, perfect. Perfect relationship, perfect fellowship, perfect connection. And then what happens? Sin shows up and messes it all up. From that moment, God has been on mission and is still on mission of bridging that gap so that we can be in relationship with him once again. You look at the Old Testament. Where is God? God's presence is up in the clouds with Moses. And then he moves down onto earth into a specific place in the tabernacle and then the temple. And then the presence of God begins to show up in Jesus. And Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, is now, the presence of God is now face to face with humanity. And then soon, as Jesus says, that the Spirit of God will now descend and go within you. Notice, up in the clouds, down on earth in a single place, then face to face, and now within his people, and eventually Eden is coming back as he makes all things new to where we can have that perfect unity, relationship, fellowship once again. Why? Because he longs to have a relationship with you and me. Longs to have that deepened relationship with all of us. Longs for it. I think one of the misconceptions about the Holy Spirit is that we think he is an it. He is not an it. He is a he, which means he is a person, not a human being, a personal force, meaning that you can talk to him, that he feels, he thinks, he reasons, and he wants to grow in relationship with you. How? One of the major components of growing in the relationship with the Holy Spirit is communication, right? What I've noticed these past 6 years is the reason why my intimacy, the reason why I know my wife and love her is because we communicate. Communication says something. Communication says, I care enough about what you think. Even in the hard times, I care about enough of what you think, and I desire to be and grow with you, and so I want to keep talking. I want to keep the conversation going. I want to keep communicating. And the Spirit of God says he longs to communicate to us. He wants to communicate to you. And some people go, how do I hear the Holy Spirit? A lot of ways. One of them, a major way, is through nature. When I look at nature, it screams a creator. When I look at the details, when I look at the things, you look at it from, if you just like, it's like looking at a painting. If you go to the Getty Museum, and some of you guys are like, I would never do that, but it's awesome, it's free, you just have to pay for parking. If you go to the Getty Museum, you look at these beautiful paintings, because I like art. So you look at art, and you just stare at it like, wow, how did they do that? You look at it, there must have been what? An artist who painted it, right? The details of it, the beauty of it, and what does the art evoke? What is it sharing? It shares about the artist who created it and what the artist was like when they painted it. Creation is like God's painting. Every evening, he has a new painting across the Pacific Ocean that we get to see. Never the same. Always different. What? Unbelievable. You just take a second, take half a day and start looking at NASA stuff and the Hubble telescope and the galaxies. Go where the galaxies are going and where we are positioned in light of all the other galaxies, and it is mind-blowing creative. And like, wow, I really don't know what's going on. Or take it from the other end. Instead of the vastness, go down into the smaller parts, the atoms, the subparticles of the atoms that they separated and separated and separated to where there's some atoms, they just there's some particles that they just show up here and then they show up here out of nowhere. No, not A plus B equals, there's no linear part. They just leave here and come here. What? Scientists are like, what is going on? That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it, because we don't understand a lot of what's going on. We trick ourselves to think that we do, but when we begin to examine, we go, wow, this is very creative. This is somewhat mystical. This is beautiful. And he's created all of it. Look at yourself. How beautiful you are. Seriously, tell yourself that when you leave. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am beautiful. That's right, you are. You are unbelievable. You are a human, breathing person. You are amazing, and God has created you. Unbelievable. When you're going on a walk in nature, in the Ortegas, the Spirit of God is there, and he's speaking to you. When you're walking along the beach in his creation, he is there communicating to you. When you're looking at the ocean and looking for sharks, he is there. And if you don't believe me, get in the water and you'll start praying real quick and he will show up. Too soon? Okay. But mountains, Yosemite Valley, I don't care where it is, wherever it is, he is there within nature, because nature screams a creator. And as we are aware of it, he is there to communicate to you through his creation. People are as another way he communicates to us, through people. That could be our spouse, that could be our children, that could be our neighbor, that could be a dude on TV or in a movie. Doesn't matter, he uses whoever, whenever, however, to communicate to us through people. And sometimes people will come up to you and tell you that God is telling you something. Hold that very lightly. Be careful there. Don't rule it out. Always go back to Scripture, because you can see the heart of God and what he's saying, and if it coincides with it, then so be it. So let's just take extreme, for example. Someone says, Sean, I think God's telling you to leave your wife and, you know, for another woman. Really? He's saying that? Yeah, I think, no, I'm sorry. That's just not the heart of God. But if someone says to me, hey, Sean, I think that you need to start loving your wife more and serving her more. I'm noticing that you are just being very selfish. Ouch. What a challenge. I'm going to take that challenge. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to sit with Jesus with it, because loving my wife is something that God desires for me to do. Serving my wife is something that God desires me to do. Maybe God is speaking through that person and saying, hey, listen to what I'm trying to say to you. Listen. God will use people to speak to you. He also speaks to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through this sacred text. Open it up. And don't just read it. Read it with him. Allow the Spirit of God to illuminate your understanding as he leads you into all truth. Allow him to speak to you as you open it up and read it. Don't go into it and like read it for the sake of like, I've got to prove my point to someone. I'm going to find that verse and I'm going to throw it at him. And it's going to be awesome. No, that's dangerous. Don't do that. Open it up and say, God, what do you want to say to me today? And the Spirit of God says, yes, I long to be in fellowship with you. I'm going to communicate to you, and he will. The Spirit of God also communicates to us through impressions. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but I want to highlight it again. He says this He says this in John 14:6. He says, the Holy Spirit will teach you. Oh, hey, look, Romans 1:20 is another good thing about nature. Just side note, read that on your own time, and you can just see how you can see God, clearly see God's invisible qualities and his eternal power and divine nature. Jumping back to the other one I talked about, nature. Sit with that, write it down, read it. You can see it. It just makes sense when you see creation. Moving on. John 14:6 says this. Woo, baby. The Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Remind means to impress upon, to recall, or what we would like to say, aha moments. What was that? Where did that come from? The only way to discover where that came from, either your mind making things up or the Spirit of God actually communicating to you, is to step into that and see what happens. Sometimes the Spirit of God will impress things on you, and you'll have moments where you're like, I think I should call so-and-so. I don't know where that came from, but I'm going to call him, see what happens. For example, a friend of mine, I had a friend once, and I called him on the phone, and which is crazy, I know. But I called him because I felt like, all of a sudden, I felt like the Spirit of God saying, hey, Sean, he needs new shoes. Wow, what? Like, you know, I have lots of thoughts, honestly, and most of them are my own. And I thought, well, is this one of those moments where it's just like, this is a Sean thought? Or what's going on here? The only way to find out is to call him. And that's kind of awkward, but whatever, I'm going to go with it. So I called him, and he's like, hey, Sean, what's up? And I'm like, hey, how's it going? What are you doing? I'm just hanging out. What are you doing? I got to ask you something that's kind of awkward, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Is that cool? And he's like, okay. I'm like, you need new shoes. Silence. Dang it. There we go again. I'm crazy. And it's silent because he's choked up. And you can hear it like, and I'm like, hello? And he's like, are you serious? I'm like, I guess so. And he's like, because about 5 minutes ago, I just asked God if I can, I need to choose because I have no money in my account. I just spent all my money on my kids for food and stuff for this week. And my kids are taking my shoes and they're using it like a puppet because the sole is like a little mouth. And he's like, rah, rah, rah. And he's like, oh, how am I supposed to like walk outside and work when I don't even have shoes? And I just cried out to God, God, I need shoes, but I don't have any money. And then you called me. And I'm like, what was that? That was awesome. Can we do that more often? And the Spirit of God is saying, yes, yes, all the time. Because he's there impressing things upon us to where we recall and go, oh my goodness, I'm going to step into this. I'm going to see what happens. Try it, watch it, see it. It happens. He is doing that. He's communicating to you through impressions. And ultimately, honestly, he's communicating to us through life in general, isn't he? Because he is here 24/7. If you believe in Jesus, he is in fact in you. So whether you're doing the dishes, stuck in traffic, surfing with the sharks, I don't care where you are, he is always there, and he longs to have fellowship, community, sharing, mutual relationship with you. Isn't that beautiful? He's always there in life. Another part of the word koinonia has to do with partnership. Partnership stems out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we begin to see Paul talking about how we are all God's workers, is what it says. And by God's workers, meaning that God desires to not just be with us, but he wants us to work alongside with him on mission in what he is doing. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants you to partner with him because the Spirit of God is on a trajectory going somewhere because he is purposeful. That he is on movement and he desires for you to move with him. I often equate that like a dance, and we're a bunch of white people learning how to dance in the presence of God as we're trying to figure out, how can I be led by the Spirit of God? How can I follow the Spirit of God? How can I partner with him? Because he's doing something in your life. He's doing something within our neighbor's life. He's doing something in our kid's life. And I want to partner with him. I don't want to be a wall blocking him. I want to partner alongside with whatever he is doing. And we see it happen in Acts chapter 10. In Acts 10, what's happening is in the beginning of the Spirit of God and his outpouring upon his people, you have these Jewish Christians who are the leaders of the church. And the problem with the Jewish Christians and the leader of the church is they're trying to figure out who's in, who's out. Who's in, who's out? Because they're struggling, because when they read the Hebrew scripture, what we call the Old Testament, when they read that, it tells them things that are who are in and who are out. But now that Jesus is here, he says that, no, it's no longer that. It's now for all people. Anyone and everyone can now have access to my life-changing love. It's not just the Jews. It's now the Gentiles. It's all people. That's a problem for them. Because Gentiles in their mind were pagan and gross. So they're trying to figure out, okay, you know what? Yeah, maybe they can be a part of our community if they just eat some food and, you know, have that other outward symbol for males. Maybe if we just do that part, and if they were just like involved into that, then they can be a part of us, because then they can, you know, they can be Christians. And they literally had debates about this, trying to figure out what to do with that, until Acts 10. We begin to see the Spirit of God partnering with two groups of people: Gentiles, a Roman soldier by the name of Cornelius and his homies, and Peter, one of the leaders in the early church. In fact, it's the one that Jesus calls the rock, right? So Peter, that guy, the leader, that dude. Spirit of God begins to merge them together because he, again, is on mission. And what we're going to do is I'm going to highlight two different sections. We're going to watch this come to life, and it is absolutely beautiful what the Spirit of God does as we partner with him, as Peter partners with him. And so Peter, in verse 17 of Acts 10, just got a vision from God about some animals in the sky. Don't call the things clean, that I, you know, unclean. And he's like, well, clean, unclean. I don't understand what's going on. He's perplexed. He doesn't understand what's happening, but here's what goes on. Verse 17, Peter was very perplexed. What could this vision mean? Just then, the man sent by Cornelius found Simon's home. Again, Spirit of God's telling Cornelius and his homies to come down and find Simon Peter, aka Peter, right? Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, because that's what he does, is he communicates to you and me, to Peter. He said, three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them. So Peter went down. Love it. He heard God's voice. He listened to the Spirit of God, and he did it. Doesn't know what's going to happen. Doesn't understand quite what's going on here, but he is going to listen to what the Spirit of God is doing because he wants to partner with him in it. He says this, I'm the man you're looking for to these guys. Why have you come? And they begin to describe why they have come. And he begins to recognize that, yeah, the Spirit of God is doing something here. Let's go. So they leave the southern city called Joppa, and they go up the Mediterranean coast to another city in Caesarea Philippi. And they go towards this guy's house, Cornelius, this Roman soldier, a Gentile. Now keep in mind, Peter's about to enter this house. He, by his understanding of the Hebrew scripture, is not allowed to go in that house. Otherwise, he will be defiled. But what does he do? Like a boss, understanding now, he just steps inside. Because why? Because the Spirit of God is telling him to do so, and he does not want to get in the way of his understanding of what this says. He's going to listen to and just step in and do it. Risky for him and his reputation with his friends, but he's doing it. He steps into that house. There, pagan, dirty Gentiles are there. Peter begins to talk, and he sees the Spirit of God fall on all of them in the house, just like the Spirit of God fell on him and his friends in Acts chapter 2. And he goes, no way. You mean to tell me that they didn't have to eat right and do that external man thing to be a part of the community? No. You mean to tell me that Jesus really is for all people, them too? Yeah. Unbelievable. Mind-blowing for him. All it took was a vision from God, the Holy Spirit, to talk to him and him to actually see it, to understand it, right? Sometimes we need that in our own life. And what Peter does here is he takes what he has experienced as his understanding of what is this is being said begins to change. He takes it to his friends and begins to share about his experience in Acts 11, verse 15 through 18. He says, as I began to speak, Peter continued, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he fell on us at the beginning, guys. I can't quite explain it, just like we can't quite explain what happened on Pentecost, but man, it was the same thing. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, that the Holy Spirit will be immersed into your life. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, here's the kicker. Who was I to stand in God's way? That's heavy. That's a heavy realization, Peter. As I read that this week, I thought about myself, who am I to stand in God's way? God, I don't want to stand in your way. I want to partner with your heart for people. People made in your image. You see that? Verse 18, when others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. Oh, that is amazing. That right there is freedom. That's what that's called, freedom. They said, we can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. What is that all about? It's the Spirit of God on mission. Doing what? Doing what he does best. Connecting people to Jesus. Connecting us to his very presence, essence. Changing us from the inside out. Who? Anyone, everyone who was willing and wants him can have him. And you know what he's doing? He's doing the same for us right now. For those of us who are believers, I guarantee it. The Spirit of God is working through someone else down your street. Let's just say. And he is going to have a meeting, and he is going to merge you two together. Pay attention to that. Watch it happen. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. He's already setting it up. Are we available, like Peter, to just simply listen, and as the Spirit of God says, get up and go downstairs, that we just get up and go downstairs? And then watch as we partner with him and see what unfolds. Do you see that? And the beauty of it. Listen to him. Don't be afraid. He's already on mission. He's doing stuff already. He's already lining things up. Watch the beauty of that love begin to disperse. He desires fellowship with us, to communicate, to talk with. He desires for us to partner with him, this koinonia. He desires for us to have connection, community. He desires for us to have intimacy with him. And by intimacy, I mean really knowing him and him knowing you. And you could say, well, isn't he all knowing? He already knows me. Yeah, but it's different. It's different because it's like a parent and a child. I know when my daughter's sad. But what I long for is to my daughter to share why she is sad so that I can hear her voice speaking to me and her heart begins to connect with my heart. And my heart can then begin to connect with her heart. In the same light, the Spirit of God longs to have this real, intimate relationship with you so that you can share your heart with him and he can share his heart with you. Don't be afraid to share your heart when your heart is angry, when your heart is frustrated, when you are confused, when you are just like, I hate this life. Share it, share it, share it. He longs to hear it. and he longs to give you healing and wholeness and peace and forgiveness and grace and, most importantly, love, complete freedom, where the prejudices are brought down and freedom exists, where fear is no longer there, but we can live in the moment in the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God, as he is leading us on mission to seeing more people come into relationship with him. Does that sound pretty good? Amen. Right? Oh, man. He wants to have fellowship with you. Let's hang out with him. Where? I don't know. The Doheny's Blues Festival. Who cares? Wherever it is. It doesn't matter because he's always there. He's always here. Right now, may we show up too, because he desires to meet you. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your eternal reality. God, I thank you that you desire to have this deep fellowship, this communication, this sharing, that you're not just some deistic being that has created and left us, but you are with us right now. In fact, you are in us who believe. Wow. Wow. You love us. You want to talk with us. You want us to partner with you. May we be open. Open. That's it. Just open. Open to hear your voice. And whichever which way it may be, maybe through another person, maybe through creation, maybe through scripture, maybe through an impression, maybe just through life in general, just may we be open. May for those of us here this morning, we don't quite know why we're here. We're not religious. We don't like this. Well, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here for some reason. That's because the Spirit of God loves you. Be open. Listen. He's here. And he desires to have a relationship with you and me, and to continue and let that relationship deepen and blossom and flourish as we fall more and more in love with God every single day, every single moment. Hallelujah, he is alive. Amen.